Learning this morning about the Shir of Shofar. So you have many times in Shas where there's a steer between two different Gemaras, and oftentimes it happens with Shirum as well. You know, the Shir of Kazayas, the Shir of Revius, the different Gemaras that indicate different Shirum. Sometimes we say there's Machlokas in the Gemaras and you have to paskin like one over the other. Sometimes there's a way to reconcile that they're both saying the same thing. So this is another example of this. The Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Zayin Mabez, asks the question after discussing the various halachas of a shofar that's nistak, and a person cracks a shofar this way or that way. So Gemara wants to know, kama shir tkiya, how long does a shir tkiya mean and have to be? Pirish Rosh Gamliel, kidei shechuzenu biyadav yir lakan lakan. The person should be able to hold it, and you should be able to see it from both ends that the person's holding the shofar. That's the shir according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Zayin Mabez. Nothing to do with the tefach. It doesn't mention tefach. It just says that if a person holds it, and you could see there's a visual on both ends. The Gemara needed daf chaf vav. Amin Aleph tells us that Tanya Rabbi Yoshaya Zira Demin Chavra Chamisha Shirum Tefach. The five arenas that require shir tefach Elohen, Shilya, Shofar, Shidra, Dofin Sukkah V'Ha'ez of different halachas. One of them is a shofar. That a shofar needs to be a tefach long. So, first glance, it sounds like there's a machlokas here. That the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that shir chizenu v'yir mikan lekan, and the Gemara in Yidda says it's a shir of a tefach. So the Rosh, right in the back, which I assume you saw, the Rosh explains in Siman Vav, at the very end, he quotes this Gemara. He says a shir, a shofar, a tefach, he first quotes the Gemara in Yidda, it's a tefach long. The Nakan Hailishna Hacha Kadeshia Khizena Hotoke Biodo Viira Lakan Lakan, the Farishatam Lama Nitnu Bo Shir Tefach. What was the reason why they added the Tefach? So why is there a need for a reason? We have a klal, the Gemara says that a number of things were halacha Moshe Mishinai. One of the things the Gemara tells us in a few places is that Shi'urim, halacha Moshe Mishinai. There's no reason behind halacha Moshe Mishinai. Halacha Moshe Mishinai is something that it just is. We have a Masorah. We have no reason why Tilin has to be black. That's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. So why is the Rosh providing a reason? Because apparently the Rosh doesn't think that the Shir of Tefach, at least as it relates to Shofar, is not a Halacha Moshe Mishinai. There's a reason behind it. So he says, what's the reason why? So he combines the Gemara Nida with the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah and says, the Shir Tefach, Lama Nitnu Bo Shir Tefach, Kedei, Shiachazenu atokeya biyado v'yir lekan lekan. Why? The Rosh adds the words v'lo yomu l'toch yado hu tokeya. So the guy doesn't look like he's blowing a sound through his hand. We see that there's a shofar there. So the Rosh combines the two gemaras, and he says the reason is some type of maris ayin issue. But in essence, the Rosh is passing like the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that it's the tam hadavar. Gemara Nida is just what the shir is. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see the Emek Bracha, but in essence, when the Emek Bracha explains the last Mar Makom, Emek Bracha quotes from the Minchas Chinuch first in Mitzvah Shin Chafe. And he quotes from the Gemara in Eirin Daf Gimel that Bechol Shirei Tfachim, whenever there's a need for a tefach of a shir, as linen l'chumer, we go l'chumer, linen otvos v'sochkos. What's otvos v'sochkos? So there's a tefach that's tight. Those are otzos, tight hand, a tight fist. And tzolchos is it's a little looser. It's a little bit more than a tefach. So we always go to chumra of requiring a larger tefach, a larger shear. V'im kein, lama lo nibay tefach sochek l'chumra. Why don't we require a larger tefach here? We'll get back to that afterwards, but just right here, for now, the Emek Bracha, just the yisod of the rush for a moment. Why don't we require a larger tefach, a looser tefach? So says the Emek Bracha, and yes, daiti pashut. The only time you need a looser, a bigger tefach is when the required shear is a tefach. The required shear is an ama, such as the size of a lulav is dalada tefachim. So then you need tefachim, you use a bigger tefach, a larger, a looser tefach, so it's bigger. Aval kan, here, with respect to shofar, linen shofar, lo nemar klal din shear tefach. You don't require a tefach for the shofar. The ikar shiva shofar is Masha Amar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kadei Shira Chazenu, Biyado, V'yir Lekan, Lekan. That's the Shir. Ah, but doesn't the Gemara say Tefach? So he says, Elo Shamadudu Chachamim Zeshir. After establishing that you need to have a shofar that's that long, they said, okay, how long is that? They took out their measuring tape. They said, oh, it turns out it happens to be a tefach. Umatza, sholo tefach, otsev. It turns out to be a very tight tefach. So that's why they put it on the Gemara's list in Nida of the things that require tefach. Not because it came from Halacha Mishnah that there's a requirement of a tefach. It came because the people have to see the shofar. But it happens to align nicely with the tefach, so they put it on the list of a tefach, of a dofen, all the other lachas of a sukkah and whatnot. But be'etzem, you don't require a tefach, you require this din, she'achizenu, v'yira mikan lakan. And the raya he brings is from the Rambam himself, in Perek Hei of Hilchos Shofar, Halacha Hei, he doesn't mention the shir of tefach, he just mentions the shir of a kidei she'achizenu v'yada v'yira lakan lakan. So that's the svara for the Rambam, that's the svara for the Rosh. We'll see at the end, hopefully, why that would be. But that's the shir right now. It's about, so you should be able to see from both ends. Mekan and Lekan. Tosos, however, Tosos in Masech HaSukkah is talking about the shir of a Erev, a shir of a Lechi, a shir of a Sukkah. And if reading just the bold, he says, don't tell me that the Tefach of a Sukkah is only Midirabanan. And Midiraisa Kosher, you could have any shir you want. Midiraisa, the wall of a Sukkah could be a tiny, right, you know, the small sukkah is two walls and a little bit of a tefach. That third wall has to be a tefach. Maybe you're going to tell me it could really be a kol shu, a tiny little string. And it's the chachamim who required it, a tefach. He says, don't tell me that. Because by virtue of the fact that it appears in the list in the Gemara Nida Daf Chavav, it's kachash of dofen sukkah b'hadi chamisha shirim to tefach. It must be to din deraisa, the tefach of a sukkah. By extension, after the Tosus clearly states that anything on that list is deraisa, it must be tefach of a shofar is also deraisa. Not because like the rush shed, because the people are going to think you're blowing from your hand. No, it's because the shear of a shofar is a tefach. It's a din deraisa. It's a lach mashmisinai. There's no games. So this is the machlokas, which as you saw in the Berlacha, there's a machlokas between the rush and the Rambam on one side versus the Tosfos. Again, the Rosh and the Rambam hold the shir is derabanan, so people can see what you're blowing. And according to the Tosfos, it's a deraisa, it's a shir deraisa, regardless of any time and no reason behind it. So that's the machlokas. So there are a few nafkaminas between this. Hopefully, you got a chance to see them. So the Berlacha first talks about two different inyanim. They are overlapping, but I'll try to say them as two different nafkaminas. One is, as I mentioned before, in the Emek Bracha, when measuring a tefach is a hand. Four fingers, a hand, that's a shiva tefach. So do you need them to be a tefach mitzumtzum, an exact tight fist, or a tefach sochek, where it's looser, a little bit more than that? It's around 4 inches or so tight, a little bit more when it's a little looser. So that need for a tefach mitzumtzum versus tefach sochek, that's a machlokas between the Ritz Geis, who says you need a tefach sochek, a larger tefach, and the Torah implies that you need a tefach mitzumtzum. So what's that machlokas, which one you need? So, any thoughts on that? How this connects?
If you hold that to your nice, then I see more machmer than most
hasana. Right, so that could be one approach. Like we saw the Emek Bracha quote the Gemara in Erevin, that we're l'chumra, tefach sochek, always l'chumra, maybe that's only on that which is deraisa, should we be more machmir. But if it's midrabanan, so maybe there's no need to be machmir. That's definitely one approach. If it's deraisa versus derbanan. Any other angles on this?
I think if it's derbanan, then the reason is so that you should be able to see that he's not flowing from his hand, then it should be that if it's derbanan, you need to look so if it, and also even if it's deraisa, you need because of the gemara neir.
Excellent. So it sounds like, so if it, the whole reason is k'day shirenu mikan lakan to see it, so my hand's a tefach. So if the shofar is going to be long in my hand, it should be longer than a tefach sochek, a little wider. So that would indicate that it really should be bigger than that. And if it's a sheer tefach medraisa, so then it's very absolute. We don't have to have a little wider. But Zachari is pointing out, but the Gemara says we're always machmir for all shirim of tefach, it should really be tefach sochek. So to be honest, I'm not entirely sure why the Ritz Geis says tefach, or rather the Torah implies tefach mitzumtzum. Because no matter how you slice it, you should really have it tefach sochek. Either it's deraisa, and all shirim of tefach should be tefach sochek. And if it's a derabanan, but the whole reason is so you should be able to see it, so it should be tefach sochik as well, so you should be able to see from both ends. So any suggestions why the Torah would think that a tefach mitzumsum would be necessary? I don't have any good answers. I don't know. Maybe you do. So I'm not entirely sure. So we'll have to leave that. Hopefully we'll think of an answer over the course of this year, or maybe we won't have an answer. It's okay sometimes to have tzarchins. It's important to be in that world of the things we don't know. The Gemara in Brachos says, it's ragi lomar in yodeya. A person should get comfortable saying, I don't know the answer. I was somewhere for Shabbos right before Corona hit. I was away for Shabbos, and there was an oneg they had at this place. It was a speaking somewhere. So after the oneg, the person was asking me a number of questions. A very challenging, very smart, sharp individual. And I happened to, before he asked the questions, I happened to be speaking about the concept that I don't know. Sometimes you have to live in the world that I don't know. Those who are here that Shabbos, Parsha Zachar and Shul, the Weimar says a story about, I don't know which name, but the person who said the big vikuach, the priest, and either Beryl, or he used some other name, I think. Anyone remember that story? I'll share the story with you then. Remember you were here that Shabbos? Anyway, so it happens to be that he shared the story in Shabbos, and I was in North Woodman that Shabbos. I shared the same exact story Friday night. He shared that Shabbos. He didn't use Beryl. He used a different name. You weren't here, okay? I'll share the story with you, fine. So the story goes as follows. But it's so funny, the same exact Shabbos, Rav Weinberg and I shared the same story. We didn't coordinate, but someone who happened to be by me Friday night and was here Shabbos day, he put two and two together. So the story goes that Rav Weinberg actually told me the story a while ago, but he used the name Beryl, but it doesn't make a difference what the guy's name is. So there's oftentimes a lot of debates between the priests and the Jews, and they forced them into fighting these debates, and it was a big busha for the Yidden. So one time they had summoned the rabbi for a debate, and the rabbi says, I'm done with this. Could someone else please go from the kila? I don't want to go. So, any volunteers? So there's a guy named Beryl, Pashat Yid Beryl, said, I'll go, rabbi, let me go. And the rabbi said, you're not going, Beryl. He was like the simplest person in the town. And he insisted, no, let me go, please let me go. So rabbi didn't want to fight with him. He said, okay, Beryl, go to the vikuach. So Beryl shows up. Everyone knows. The whole town knew who Beryl was, and they started laughing. You sent Beryl? This is the guy you sent to fight up against his priests. So I said, okay, well, you could ask the first question, Beryl. You let's see what you got. So he opens up Chumash, and he points to a few words, and he says, what does this mean? What's so the priest says, he points to words, Le'edati, Enoch Le'edati. The Pasuk Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu says, I didn't know I was sleeping on the Har Bayis, Enoch Le'edati. He points to the Pasuk. So the priest says, I don't know. So he was touching the words. Everyone else thought, he says, he doesn't know the answer. I don't know. So they pummeled him, and they ended up killing the priest, and the vikuach was all over, because he says he doesn't know the answer to the psukim. And then Beryl was heralded the great hero. He won, and there was a big parade back in the Jewish neighborhood. And afterwards, the rabbi called in Beryl. He says, that was ingenious. How did you think of that? How did you think of such a great question? So Beryl says, very simple. I was being mavir sedra. I got to these words. I didn't know what the words meant. So I figured the smart guy in the parish on the side would know what it means. And he teaches him to say, he says, I don't know. So I said, if the parish doesn't know what the words mean, so certainly the priest is not going to know what it means. So there's a world of, I don't know, Yodati. So this, I gave this drasha that Friday night. The guy afterwards asked me questions. And he says, Taka, the drasha I gave was helpful for him because he has a lot of questions, but he doesn't know the answer to all of them. And it's actually, maybe it's you should be comfortable in a place of I don't know. So that's why, you know, there's in the beginning of Brachos, Rashi says he doesn't know how to touch one of the Gemara words there. So, lo yodati, whatever he says. The beginning of Shas quotes like 20 other places where Rashi doesn't know Pshat, and whatever, and Chumash, and Gemara. And the lesson is, because we don't know every answer, and it's okay to, we try the best we can, and we don't have to give up, but sometimes we have to give up. Kveger has all the time, Tzarchin. So I don't know what the Pshat is why Tevach Mitzumsum would be relevant. Again, if it's a deraisa, seemingly it should be larger, tevach sochek. And if it's a din derbanan, to be able to see, so then it should be tevach sochek as well. So we'll leave that as a tzarchin unless someone has an answer. The other nafkamina is about an adam gadol, a person who's got a big hand, bigger. In my tevach is much more than another person's a hand, let's say. I could actually palm a basketball to watch out. If it's a good grip, I can palm it. So my tefach is smaller, bigger than your tefach. So who's do we go based on? Who's shear tefach? So if we go based on like the average guy, the average, I don't know, average person that's 5'10", 5'11", let's say, and his hand size is 4 inches, let's say. So then, so 4 inches, if you're, you know, having some big, you know, I don't know, LeBron James, you know, Tefa, he gets squashed, he probably, like, his hand's probably 2 tefachim. So like, if he held a shofar for that size, you can't see it. So what would the shir be of an Adam Gadol holding a shofar? Does it go based on his own tefach? Or does it go based on the average Adam Beinoni tefach? So this would go back to this same point. So some would say, and the Be'er Lachav quotes machlokas, the Ritva versus others, that some would say it goes on each person's size, his shear of a tefach, whatever how big his hand is. And others say, no, it goes based on the average person. So you tell me, what's the machlokas? No one knows? Yeah, Sammy.
If you're risky, you could have to go to Chumrah. No, and then just say that everyone has to be like as big as their hand.
So that could be approach. It should be L'chumrah. The problem is that if it's Derbanan, you have to be able to see it. So if it's Derbanan, if we go based on the more lenient position, if LeBron James were to hold my shofar, my hand-sized shofar, he wouldn't be able to see the shofar sticking out at both ends. So So I would think, I think it's a good point about the derisa, but ignoring the derisa piece, I would imagine it should go really the other way around. That the whole point is to be able to see it. So depending on how big the guy's hand is, that's how large the shofar should stick out. Could they shirenu mikana lakan? So my shofar size is much smaller than LeBron James' shofar size. Hope no one's insulting that I'm using LeBron James as a model. Anyone insulted by that?
Hey.
I mean, I also Michael Jordan. I try to bring myself down to these guys' level. Michael Jordan had a huge hands, you know. So that's why he's a great defender and everything like that. By the way, you know, one of the first things I mentioned this in the past when, you know, I didn't know Rav Weinberger much. I started coming to the shul and trying to understand him. So I, you know, he was two things that he was talking about: sports. He was talking about the Batman shows. So I feel like you could talk about these things and still relate to people, even people learning in yeshiva. Anyway, so that's LeBron James, Michael Jordan, whoever you want to use. So it depends if it's about Kadesh, Shir, enemy, Khan, Lakan, to be able to see it. So it's subjective, depending how big the hand is. But if it's a deraisa, nothing to do with being able to see it. A Shir Tevach, whatever Tevach is, Medaraisa, that's the Shir. You know, when it came to like building the base of Mikdash, they don't use a Tevach, whoever is the builder. There's a set Shir, what a Tevach is. Oh, the guy's a bigger builder, so they're going to make the Mizbeach bigger? No. When it comes to Dine Deraisa, the Tevach is some objective Shir, whatever Tevach is. An Amma. An amma is defined by the elbow. This is called an amma. The middle finger is an amma. Why is it an amma? Because an amma is measured from an elbow to a middle finger. So some halachas, it depends, it's subjective. Other halachas, no, that's the average size of an amma. We don't go based on whichever person we're going. If I'm building an eruv, we don't go based on my amma. If the guy's bigger, it's a longer amma. If the guy's shorter, it's a short amma. No. There's an objective amma, an objective tefach that has to be used. So if you assume the shear of a shofar is a tefach, an absolute tefach, it's a set shear. But if you assume the shear of a shofar is kedei shirenu mikan lakan, the ability to see it, so it depends on the person who is going to be blowing the shofar. Now, Pirkei Avot point out another nafkamina, but then he also says it's not really such a clear nafkamina, which is as follows. Pirkei Avot says that if you assume like the Rush, that the shear is only a din derabanan, but midaraisa, it could be any amount. Right? If I can make a sound of a shofar this size, that's a good shofar. They just said make it a little bit longer so nobody thinks I'm blowing out of my hand. So what happens if all you have, you're stuck someplace, and the only shofar you have is a tiny shofar? It's not a tefach, it's not yireni mikan lakan, it's a small tefach, but it makes the right sound. I can make a tekiya, a shuar, a matrua. Will that work? So he says, if you hold the shear tefach is deraisa, so there's nothing to talk about. It's less than a tefach. But if the whole shear is only midrabanan, because of maris ayin, so b'makam she'efshar, you could fall back on the deraisa, and you could be yotzei the mitzvah with a shear of a shofar that's a kol shir. That's what he suggests would be another nafkamina. But then he does quote the Levush. Levush thinks that even if it's a derabanan, even the shear is derabanan, it's possible Chachamim had created a gzera that any shofar less than this is actually not a shofar anymore. See, even if you hold it to the Rabbanon, it may not be nafkamina. Because they pass to any shofar that size, and the Chum have the ability to be okay davar min haTorah. So at first glance, it sounds like a nafka mina if there are no available shofaros that are bigger, only smaller, but Levush seems to neutralize that. So let's dig a little deeper now. After explaining this machlokas, deraisa versus derbanan, if it's a shir tefach, yeah. No, could we say Mars iron is also afilu b'chadi chadar? The Gemara says in Beitza and Shabbos, afilu b'chadi chadar. But
it doesn't look like he's doing an eser; it just looks like he's not being yotzei.
It's a good point. So you'd have to define whether or not this would be stam Mars iron, whether it would fall into this other categories, or Mars iron would only be relevant in a makom that's aser. But this is a Mars Ayin where there's no Isser, just like it's a Mars Ayin of not fulfilling the mitzvah. It's a very good question. I'm not sure. It's a great chiluk, though. Really great chiluk.
It's a Mars Ayin on Din Derabanan, no?
So right. So Yosef learned Yodeh very, very well. So he's talking about the Chalev Shkedim. He's talking about the milk, the almond milk, correct? Right? So those who learn Simon Pei Zayin of Shulchan Aruch Basar B'Chalev are familiar with a very nice Ramah Neshach. What's that talking about? So, you know, obviously Basar B'Chalev is Asa Midaraisa, right? No question about that. And if a person has milk and chicken on the table, so I can eat milk and chicken together, but if I have milk here and chicken over there, that looks like I'm having Basar B'Chalev. But let's say I'm having coconut milk. Coconut milk, non-dairy creamer. There's no flesh, there's no milk issue there. I could dip my chicken in and have it just fine. So the Ramah says you have to put shkedim, you have to put the nuts on the table, or the coconuts on the table, so you know it's not real milk, so that everyone knows. So that Ramah is talking about a din derabanan only. He's talking about oaf, or where it wasn't cooked properly. So it's clear from the Ramah, even in the makom of basar b'chalev that's only mid derabanan, you still have to be concerned with maariv ayin. It's a whole long shach that quotes a number of different rayas not back and forth, but really in one direction, discussing this point of whether maariv ayin applies even to an iser mid derabanan. So that's an interesting topic. So there's a debate whether or not maariv ayin applies to derabanan or not, based on this Ramah Shach. So here as well, the mitzvah of shofar is a deraisa, obviously. The shear is midirabanan, according to the Rosh. So would that Maariv Ayin be relevant to a shear derabanan on top of Zechariah's point of that it's not a classic Maariv Ayin of not an iser to Maariv Ayin of not performing the mitzvah in the right way? So all good points. I'm not entirely sure, but very relevant. Very relevant. So let's dig deeper. Sometimes we stop at just like, okay, machlokas, the nature of the shear, is it a shear tefach, is it shear kidei shirenu mikan lakan? But it's always nice to dig deeper if we're able to. So what would you think, I'll ask you, what would you think is behind the reasonings of the Rosh versus tells us whether or not it's a shear, an absolute tefach, or it's a shear of kidei shirenu mikan lakan? Any thoughts on this? So it's always, you know, systematically how to think of sugyas. You always want to, you know, we're learning about shofar now, so it's always good to go back to the root, the nature of the basic hakira that's always raised by shofar, which is what? Shmir tkiyu. Right, what's the nature of the mitzvah? Shmir tkiyu. So sometimes people like to push in the shmir tkiyu to every single nafkamina, every mechokas. Some people like to do, some people don't like to do that. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not true. I happen to think it might be very relevant in this case. Well, we've discussed a couple of times already whether it's a mitzvah of the Shmia, the mitzvah of the Kiyah, what's the bracha, is it the Shmoa, is it the Tkoa, what nusach do you say? I'll share with you another nafkamina before plugging them back into the shirim, just because it's a sugya we're not going to do, but it really brings out this machlokas, because again, this nafkamina comes up in so many different areas in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara in Daf Chav Ches, just on Thursday, what we're going to do is the sugya of the echoes of a shofar as it relates to microphones to Lech Lamaisa. Then we're going to jump to Mitzvahs Lav Lehenos Nitnu. So there's a little sugya there we're going to skip because there's not that much to talk about. But I'll just talk about it now because it connects, which is the issue of using a shofar shel ola. Shofar shel ola. A carbon ola, use the shofar of such an animal. And the Gemara says there in Daf Chav Ches, the shofar shel ola lo yatza, lo yitka, rather you shouldn't blow. Vim yitaka yatza. If you blow, you're yotze the mitzvah. So, b'shofar shel shlamim lo yitka v'imtaka lo yatza. Okay, forget shlamim for now. My time a ola. Why are you yotze by the ola if you blow the shofar of an ola? Are you yotze? Ola bas me'ilah. It's subject to the me'ilah. There's isa me'ilah to benefit from hektish. And kevin de ma'al ba nafkalei l'chulin. So once you're ma'al ba, it goes out to be chulin. That's what the Gemara explains. So in this havamina, the Gemara understands that benefiting from the tkiya, the kol of the shofar, you get an isa me'ilah. That's what comes out from the Gemara. This stage, there's an isa me'ilah of hearing the shofar of Ilm. What's the problem with that? This Gemara, that you could get an isa me'ilah from the kol of the shofar? Ah, it's very good. So the Gemara is going to address that. So we're going to, right now we're in the Havamina, we'll address that, but it's also a good point. We'll get back to that in just a moment. What other question can there be? What does the Maisa have to do with anything? Maisa Me'ilah. You can't steal. The Gemara M'sach Naf Chavav, which I think you're both saying, is that when it comes to Me'ilah, Ein Me'ilah B'Koach, rather B'Kol, Reach, and Re'iyah. You can't get Me'ilah by looking in the Beis HaMikdash, by smelling from the Beis HaMikdash, and by hearing things from the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Issa Me'ilah. They're busy playing the instruments of the Klishir in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Me'ilah. There's nothing substantial. There's no mamashas to it. There's no Maisa. There's no mamashas. There's nothing to speak of. A kol, just you can't see it. You can hear it. You can't see. You can't touch. You can't feel it. So the Gemara clearly says in Pesachim, there's no Me'ilah by kol. How could the Gemara Rosh Hashanah indicate, at least in the Havamina, that there is an Isra Me'ilah by kol? So the two answers that Me'iri gives. The Me'iri gives two answers, and others say this. It's two answers throughout all the Yishonim, but the Me'iri says it very nicely. The Me'iri says, I left it at home though, my Me'iri. The Me'iri says that, number one is, this Havamina, as Dov was saying, we haven't yet introduced mitzvahs lav lehenasin. We're in the Havamina where there is a, where one does get hana from mitzvahs. So with the kol shofar, stam kol, by me'ilah, there's no iser. But when the kol is a keem of a mitzvah, and there's a hana of the mitzvah, so then there would be a violation of me'ilah. It's a focus on the kol. There is a me'ilah by kol. The Me'iri's second answer is that this case is different. When is there no me'ilah? When levim are busy playing klishir, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, I'm hearing. But if I take klishir, I'm a levi, but if I'm not supposed to take the klishir, and I use it, I use the item, and then create klishir, that's a heftz I'm using. So the shofar is a shofar shel ola. So Miri says, when I'm using a heftz shel hektesh and producing kol, then there is a violation. I'm blowing into the shofar. It's a focus on the tekiya, on the heftz of the shofar. So these two answers that are found in the Me'iri and the Ran, the Sfasem, they all talk about these two answers, they elaborate more, the Yom Teshua, but just very simply speaking, this explanation of whether or not it's because there's a Hana for the kol, that's the Me'ilah, or because the shofar itself, the chefs of the shofar that you blow into is Hekdesh, is whether or not it's Tokeya versus Shomea. That seems to be Lachlokis here. And just to kind of prove this point here, the Rambam we know by now focuses on the Shmir, the hearing, the kol. He had said in the same exact halacha, in Perek Aleph of Hilcha Shofar, halacha Gimel, Shofar a gazel, shetakabo yatsa. Why you yotze? Sheina mitzvah ela b'shmias kol. He focuses on the kol. You can't steal sound. The same halacha. V'chein shofar shel ola lo yitkaba, im takaba yu yotze. Ah, isn't there hana? Isn't there mi'ila? Ein b'kol din mi'ila. Because mitzvahs lav lehenasin, he writes, because the Rambam focuses on the kol element, the shmi element, while others focus on the shofar, and the blowing into the shofar, and the chef to shel mitzvah. So this is the hakira, as you hopefully will, if you remember one thing from the summer, it should be shemeya versus tokeya. I hope you remember a lot more than just that. But if anything, that should be the hakira you should remember. So how does this connect now to the shir of shofar, whether it's a tefach, or whether it's Kadesh Yirenu Mikan Latan? So I think, it might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think whenever you focus on the Shmia, you make suggestions if you want, actually. No suggestions. Okay. So whenever you focus on the Shmia, the focus is on the people hearing, the Tzibur. So that we have to hear the shofar. So if it's not hearing the shofar, so then it's very relevant that they have to know where it's coming from. They have to know I'm not blowing into my hand. I'm blowing from a shofar that they could actually see. So the Rush is of the opinion. Let me finish, but the Rush is of the opinion. I'm suggesting that Kadesh Yirinu Mizel Lezeh, this Gemara Rosh Hashanah, is focused on the here in the Tzibur, the Shmir. And that's why the Rambam doesn't quote Tefach. The Rambam quotes Kadesh Yirinu Mikan Lakan, the ability to, for people to see it. It should be observed so no one, everyone knows where the Shmir is coming from, where the Kol is coming from. But according to the understanding of Tosos, the Shir of a Shofar is a Chef Shel Mitzvah. It's being Tokei into a Shofar. You don't have to have the people here. It's about the Baal Tokeya blowing to the shofar. It's a chepsa shel mitzvah. And therefore, it's about a tefach and nothing to do with people sing. That's a suggestion. Yeah, Elliot.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if you're saying that in order to be Makavian, like as from the Tzibur perspective, to the mitzvah shofar, by you can only be Makavian to it properly if you could see it, lakan lakan, you would have a problem in the case of a chas shalom, a blind person who wouldn't be able to see it, even if it was big enough, lakan lakan, and to make his mitzvah shofar totally on being able to be mekaving it through Re'ya specifically would obviously be a problem for him.
Right. It's a very good question, but we know by Asuma is pater in a mitzvah asay. So anything they do is a b'taras mitzvah, any mitzvah yosa. So the chamim who allowed Asuma to do mitzvahs, they're only chayim with their bonim of mitzvahs. So the same chamim who say that the chayim mitzvahs could also say that they're not subject to the ability to see it. It's a fair point, but it happens to many shirim. But I think I haven't seen that discussed that Asuma would be pata because of this, but I think it's certainly a good place to look. If that element isn't there, maybe Asuma should be pata because of missing the shirim. So it could be a theoretical nafkamina. I don't see it as being nafkamina, but if you find it, I think it would make a lot of sense. Yeah.
But also someone that's just walking by, the Mishnah says whether he was kibin libo or not, that would decide whether he's yotzi or not. So also it doesn't seem like he needs to be able to see the shofar and know what is being blown.
Correct. You have to invoke Kol Haroi LeBila Bila. I mean, it has to at least the ability, has to the theoretically ability, but you don't have to actually make sure it's not there. But assume it doesn't have even the Roy, the ability to see in the first place. Yes, if you had a question?
No, I was going to say Roy.
Ah, okay.
Yes. A Cheresh, you can see if you can't hear.
Well, the Shmiya is the Iker. The Shmiya certainly is the Iker. So then there's nothing even to talk about. So the Ri is the secondary element. But again, to what I recall, I believe, again, Asuma's pater mitzvahs anyways, midiraisa. But I think it's a good place to look anyways, to see if that's enough. I mean, how much the Ri'ah is necessary. Yeah, NG.
The Ritva, who we said was against the Rambam and holds about the Tekiyah, he also holds, though, that it's a subjective thing based off of how big a person is. So isn't that more like the Shira Enna?
Say, the first Ritva you said was what?
Ritva we know, as we discussed the first year, is unlike the Rambam holds it, it's based off of the Tekiya.
It's a Chapsha Mitzvah, a Mitzvah Babi Aveir, right?
But here he holds that it's the size of the Shofar, the Tefach is subjective.
Right. So if I recall correctly, I did some unfair editing and presentation of the Ritva. I believe that Ritva was only in the Havamina that he suggested. We have to look back at it. Again, I have it upstairs in the office. But I believe that was part of the Havamina from the Yushami, which she ended up rejecting. So if what I'm remembering is correct, then it actually works out nicely. So Blin Eder will try to double check later tomorrow. Very good. Okay, fine. We'll stop here. And Mirza Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. I guess it was Zach Kaczynski. I asked for some sources. And Elliot's going to work on the basketball game in the rain. All right.